Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
Political divisions within families, disagreements about pandemic precautions, changes in our children's schooling, a lot of us feel like we need a break, a Sabbath, recreation, some kind of refreshment. And pastors are right there with us. The American church has come to the point that an alarming 42% of pastors are considering the option of leaving the ministry. Today on Family Life's Inside Out, I'm talking about just that with my pastor, Alex Roofer, the Bridge Wesleyan Church pastor in Big Flats, New York. Welcome, Alex, to Inside Out.
Thanks, Martha. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be able to talk to you about this. Just to set the stage, how long have you been the pastor at the Bridge?
So I came in ministry second career. I had actually graduated from college with an elementary education degree. So I tell people I got Holy Spirit hijacked. and so I started in children and youth ministry back in 2005 and was there for eight and a half years. And then have been the last 9 years serving as the lead pastor at the church.
And you are about to begin a sabbatical. Is this your first sabbatical?
Yeah. This is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's my very first.
So what is a sabbatical?
Yeah, I guess first that I felt like it was important is to acknowledge the idea that I believe rest and extended rest at times is for everyone, not just pastors. No matter what our calling is, I think it's important for us to be able to acknowledge times and seasons where it's good to get away. Scripture kind of paints those cycles for us. We get daily ones, we get weekly, we get, you know, yearly, or even up to seven and every 50 years when we're talking about Shemitah years and Jubilee. We were meant to come to this place where our relationship with our Father dictates everything else. This is not just for pastors, it's for everybody. We need to have build in those rhythms of what we do, because if we don't, you know, we tend, whether we're pastor or not, to get to those burnout stages. Having said all that, Martha, I think it's okay to acknowledge that there is some unique pressures that leaders in general, and maybe pastors particularly, do face. Sometimes it's the idea that you have to be the perfect leader that can't be real, can't be vulnerable, can't expose any kind of weakness, because, you know, maybe then you're a hypocrite, or maybe then you're not suitable to lead. And so, you know, pastors will get into those places, and Christians, of course, can feel the same things that, you know, I have to have every answer, I have to be helpful in all things, I can't say no, I can't have any flaws. It's why when I have gotten compliments here or there that, hey, I can actually connect with you, I can consider you a friend, like, to me, that's one of the best compliments I've ever received as a pastor, that, you know, like, oh, you're a real person. Like, thank you. Yes, it's true. I am a real person.
Yes.
And I do have struggles, and I do have things that I'm working through too. I am continually being conformed to the image of Christ, but it is a lifelong journey. You know, and of course, pastors bear the weight sometimes of feeling that responsibility for a community of faith. And that's hard. It's what we feel when we're in our own families as parents. We feel that weight. And another level of that is carried to our community of faith and our church. And one more aspect of the unique pressures is what I feel is sometimes the cultural influence that what maybe used to be like, pastor, you need to be a CEO and you need to have this, that, and the other. You have to have this level of business excellence to be able to do all these things to lead, quote unquote, the organization. I think that shifted maybe a little bit more towards what we're seeing today. And it can be actually both at the same time of celebrity pastor.
Right.
You know, this idea that I got to build a platform, I got to look right, I got to say it right, I got to make sure I put in my little Twitterable kind of quote in my sermon and have that influence and that image put out there. I think that sometimes can be a pressure that sometimes as pastors we can get into in the midst of wanting affirmation and accolades and all those kind of things. So, you know, coming back to like what is sabbatical, one, it's to really reestablish that rhythm of rest. But it's also to break some cycles and influences that maybe have been creeping in without our knowledge, both for us, but also for our congregations. So, you know, quieting sometimes the voices and the demands, both the external ones and the internal ones, I think is really important, because ultimately we have to live everything from that identity as sons and daughters of the King first and foremost, that our place beyond anything else, no matter what else God does, is simply children of God who are longing to just love their daddy well. we miss that sometimes in life. Everybody can do that, but pastors can especially miss that. Mm. Their role first is to be a son, a daughter, to be cherished by a heavenly Father. And then everything from there, yeah, a calling and purpose and mission gets established and re-energized. And we're able to ask the question in those break times, God, am I walking faithfully? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Certainly there's been times where I've walked too long in a specific area or ministry, and it took me a season of rest. Sometimes it's sadly, crisis or kind of burnout places. Sometimes we'll take that to stop and say, oh, I've been pushing ahead with my plan. I've been leaning on my own understanding instead of really seeking the Lord in all this. So that season, that shakeup, can actually be a really great instrument for us to be able to pause and hear God's voice a little bit more clearly. And in that process, then kind of recalibrate our rhythms and our priorities for how we move forward.
Mm-hmm. So it's much more complicated than that. And you've said much more than this, but in a sense, it's a reset.
Yes, absolutely. That's really it. Coming back to those rhythms, I think those are really important for us. It's been super helpful for me too. Even when we look at the pattern for how the Jewish people would see their day, how Scripture paints, it's not morning and evening, it's evening and morning. There's a sense of we start from a place of quietness, being unformed in some ways, and then we build into what happens throughout the course of the day. You know, we consider sometimes Sunday at the end of our week. Actually, it's completely opposite.
Yes.
Sabbath truly should be the start of our week.
So, this is a small thing, but like I refuse to buy a calendar that starts with a Monday. And that's getting harder and harder to find calendars that start with Sunday. But that's my little protest on that. No, we start with Sunday.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You be a rebel, Mark.
That's
just
it.
Go for
yeah.
it.
That's it. Yeah.
That's absolutely. It's nice, in one of the calendars to have, I can actually set it digitally at least to start on Sunday, which is same kind of reason is trying to make that little protest that says, no, I'm starting with rest. And that's what's most important. It is a recalibration, one with our Father. And two, with the relationships that we have with other people, too. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, of the reset and reestablishing what's actually proper and what's most important to God.
Mm. Now, if you'll excuse me just a moment. Speaking of resets, let me reset for those who are just starting to listen. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. And I'm talking today with Alex Ruffer, pastor of the Bridge Wesleyan Church in Big Flats, New York. Now, Alex, you've spoken about the sabbatical, the purpose as many things, that it's a time apart, it's a time of reset, it's a time to maybe re-examine. For people in churches who have never experienced a pastor going on sabbatical, is there a pattern or are they all different for different pastors?
Certainly there's, I think, variety. And this is, from conversations with pastors who've experienced or gone through a sabbatical, research I've done, our district has been really helpful in bringing some resources that have said, here's some general things that you might want to consider, maybe starting with that extended period of rest and disconnect, rather than jumping into an area of study or a big task or project. Typically that stepping away is the most helpful. And in that process, you come face to face with some of the things that we realize, oh, I haven't really dealt with that. So we want to make sure we leave space for the Lord to really do some of that. For me personally, the first section of our time away, as a family, will be some significant family time, travel, and I've got family all over the country. We're going to try to do a lot of that. But really the first thing then back from that extended travel is just to sit and be a person and have no other obligation than just to be there, to be present, to be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit might be leading in each day. I'm going to probably squirm because I'm used to like moving and doing all the things. And that's okay. That's part of it. And I should be asking the question, why am I squirming? Why am I at ill ease right now? What are those things that maybe have built up that my identity got caught up with? So I think it's really important to leave that space. And then, I've got a list of projects that are at home and said, if I can do one of those or if I can do 50 of those, that's fine. But I think one of the ways that's helpful that someone described it is, what are the things that are genuinely giving you joy, that are filling you, that you're not feeling pressured about, that you feel that you can both get filled with and also the Lord delights in that too? What are those things? Mm-hmm. I do have some areas of study, and it's really long for me, the nature of what does the body of Christ really look like in this season of life? What is discipleship? What is the nature of the church in fostering that? I'm having my next counseling session, working with a counselor/coach that I told them, like, hey, I'm grateful to head into this sabbatical overall feeling not burnout. Then I said, I need you to poke at me, uncover things, ask me all sorts of tough questions, because we can all be very good at convincing ourselves that we're doing really well. But until we have someone else asking us some pointed questions, we might not see that. So I would encourage some counseling or some level of sharing there at deeper levels. That's something I'm looking forward to and have already found some benefit in just our first session together. Okay. So that's going to be included for me too.
Terrific. Terrific. My understanding is the sabbatical is mostly for the pastor, but how might a sabbatical help the congregation?
So I've been blessed, you know, in the midst of not a perfect congregation and perfect leadership, but I look around and I see some really good living examples of who Jesus is. And so they've been very supportive. And I know, sadly, that's not always the case for some leadership, and they kind of may have to fight tooth and nail to feel like they can care for themselves. But I've been blessed with a great leadership team. And even the process for us of asking all the questions, what will this look like? How will we care for one another, has really brought up some already fruitful conversations on what are we doing? What's most important? Who can be a part of that? You know, sadly enough, because the pastor might just do all the things, we might not look around to see what has God given us as gifts. You know, Ephesians 4 paints that he's given the church to build it up, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, different type of giftings that are for the body. And not one pastor is going to carry all five of those kind of giftings. Jesus himself carried all five, but that was it. Everybody else is going to play a pretty unique role. And we've already seen people stepping up and being a part of the conversation. And we've seen people start to become alive of, wow, I could help with this. That's one benefit we see, to people already starting to step into some things. So I think long-term, that's going to be great, because it won't be just sabbatical. It's not like I'm going to come back at the end of sabbatical and say, everybody, you go back to your spaces.
Right, exactly.
I got this now. Mm-hmm. You know, the desire is to have a little bit more organic grassroots type of movement, which is what we see the best form of churches is when people are equipped and empowered, and they're free to actually walk in some of those giftings. And honestly, there's going to be struggle, there's going to be wrestling, but as we know, those places of struggling and wrestling are actually the places where we can grow the most. That's why James says, consider it pure joy, brothers, sisters, when, you know, trials of many kinds come upon you. It's opportunity for endurance, you know, and let endurance have its full way, right? So we like to, as pastors and leaders, remove discomfort from people.
Sure. Well, opportunity for endurance. And it is an opportunity, but usually we avoid those things that would grow endurance in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just what we do. I was wondering if you could maybe summarize even some of the things that you've already said, but how do you think congregations supporting pastors going on sabbatical, how might that address the crisis that we have of that amazing number of 42% of pastors considering leaving the pulpit?
This is going to be an opportunity for me, and will be for pastors, to say, God, you are first. I must have no other thing before you. I can't have idol. And sadly, our ministry and our role in the body becomes an idol. And so if that's the case, if we're actually serving an idol instead of Jesus, you better believe that's influencing the effectiveness of a church, the health of a church, its ability to actually build the kingdom of God and see the kingdom of God here on earth. So the more we can encourage people in general and our leaders to be able to step back, again, not just once every 7 years, but to take those daily, weekly, monthly, you know, yearly rhythms, that's going to be extremely important for all of us to be able to do. When we encourage our leaders to take the space and have the space where they prioritize hearing from Jesus, asking those questions, we always say in our congregation to our people, there's two main questions we're always asking in life, not just on a Sunday morning, but in the midst of everyday life, is, you know, God, what are you saying to me? Mm-hmm. What is the word that I need to hear right now? Mm-hmm. And then the question then is, what am I being asked to do? What does that look like to walk faithfully? So many times we don't give ourselves the space. And so when we encourage leaders, please take the space you need to get before the Father and hear his voice and let his voice drive you beyond any other voice, then what we do is we say, you can now be an instrument that can be set aside for holy purposes, because the voice that is most important is being listened to. Mm-hmm. That, yes, you're going to hear my voice and a leader's voice and the demands of culture kind of voice, and some of those will influence what we do, but ultimately is, God, what are you saying to me? And I think if we encourage our people and our pastors to take that space on a regular basis, they're going to be hearing from God. They're going to be hearing revelation and understanding that's timely. And that's going to give us a level of fruitfulness that maybe we've never experienced before, because we've just been doing things according to our own understanding and according to our own power. So ultimately what that does, that space, will actually create an opportunity. Like Jesus said, you know, when we prune something, when you have fruit, you prune it so that it becomes actually more fruitful.
Right.
So the pruning is painful. It's hard, and it feels like we're stopping and we're losing ground, but actually it's creating the ability for us to bear more and more fruit, not just something that has lots of leaves and looks fruitful, but is actually fruitful.
Mm. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Pastor Alex, for joining me in this conversation, and all the best to you as you begin this adventure, this sabbatical, and all the things that might be happening in you and through you and for your family during that time.
Thank you, Martha.
My guest has been Alex Roofer, pastor of the Bridge Wesleyan Church in Big Flats, New York. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.